So many of you know that I grew up on a potato farm up by Antigo, Wisconsin. And farming is a lot of hard work. You are all used to hard work. But on a potato farm, you just got to keep going. It doesn't matter if it keeps raining. It doesn't matter if it's hailing. You just got to keep doing the work. In the area where I grew up, there were a whole bunch of Germans. I'm half German. And for some reason, we took pride in being bullheaded. Because we just kept going forward. And where I grew up, there were a lot of Bohemians, and I'm half Bohemian. And Bohemians, for some reason, in that area, prided themselves on being bullheaded. So I was half German and half bullheaded. I still am, I guess. And so priding ourselves on being bullheaded, which really means just keep on keeping on. Even if you don't want to keep doing what needs to be done, you do it anyway. You got to be resilient. So my mother would always laugh, and she said, well, maybe we're just too dumb to know when to quit. We just kept going, and that seems appropriate for this week when I was putting this series together with Rich a couple of weeks ago on trust and perseverance. Trust me, I had no idea that everything was going to go wrong this week. So if everything's going wrong and the message is about perseverance, I think we're exactly where God wants us to be. So where have we been? Pastor Rich's summer series has been on Proverbs, the way of wisdom. And then last week my sermon was Trust and Perseverance Part 1. Today you get Part 2. Last week I looked at trust, today on perseverance. Last week was Proverbs 3, 5 to 12. Just as a refresher, this week's passages, you heard about Ruth as an example of perseverance. I don't know if you noticed, but right at the end of the passage, verse 18, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So I can just imagine Naomi saying, oh, she's bullheaded, I'm not going to keep talking to her, she's going to come with me, and she did. Romans 5, 1-5 traces a path of perseverance from tribulation to hope. This week's big idea, although perseverance often requires the opposite response from you than does trust, God uses them as a matched pair to draw you closer to Him and help you follow His plans for your life. There's a contrast, though, between these two. It struck me as rather interesting that we're supposed to follow God and exhibit various virtues, and they are often seem to be contradictory. Whereas trust requires you to be still and wait and breathe. Perseverance requires you to move forward via God's will and power, despite the trials and tribulations that get in your way. Before he gets there, though, Paul gives a little theological reminder at the beginning of the passage. In Romans 5, 1-2, why don't we take a quick look at that just to refresh your memory. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. This is really heavy, fabulous theology. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, so grace, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Romans 5, 1-2, our sins are washed away, thus we are granted a nearness to God that we did not have before. We're sinful creatures. We don't try to be, but we just are. And there needs to be a way back to God, a nearness to God. And Christ is the way through the cross, washing us of our sins, allowing us reconciliation to God. So some heavy theology that Paul gives us. He mentions justified. To be justified means that the ledger of your sins have been wiped out. Imagine an accounting ledger. And you're looking at all these debts that you have to pay. And you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay all these debts? All of a sudden, Christ's sacrifice on the cross just wipes them away. It's clean. You don't owe anything. Justification leads to restoration. This is from John Stott, the Message of Romans. The reconciled relationship with God, is the first blessing of justification. Thus, justification and reconciliation belong together. Christ wipes away our sins so that we can be reunited to God. And what better place is there? Reminds me of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Years ago, I sold cookies and crackers for Keebler Company, and I was calling on a store in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and I was going through some tough times in my life. And this is the verse that I kept going over as I'm stocking cookies. I'm thinking of this verse over and over. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. From the good old-fashioned King James Version. To support that is a passage from John 3:27. No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. So everything we have is from above. Martin Luther has, ironically, has five onlys. You only need this. Oh, but you only need that. And you only need that. I think he's got five of those. And one of them is you only need faith. Only faith. That's Latin, sola fide. Only faith. We are required to believe to have faith in Jesus' faithfulness. What do we have faith in? Not just faith in faith, but faith in Jesus' faithfulness to bring us back to himself by dying for our sins on the cross. So this is all kind of wrapped into those first couple of verses. The result, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. End of story. Great gospel. And then Paul goes on to talk about trials and tribulations. It sounds like we are a living testimony this week to this message. First, we need an attitude adjustment. Look for the silver lining. Hardship makes us better by drawing us closer to God. Well, that's the same thing that trust does. Trust brings us closer to God, and so does perseverance. So does hardship. And then he gives you this series. One thing begets another, begets another. And I'm try to do a marathon every year, and this is kind of what I go through when I get to mile 23. Why mile 23? The race is 26.2 miles, but I know if I can get to mile 23, I'll make it to the end. I'll walk. It's all downhill in the Milwaukee Marathon after that. If I can get to 23, I mean, literally, it's downhill to the lake. So about mile 14, I'm starting to think, why am I out here? Why? This is 14. This is stupid. So I'm starting to suffer. Between 14 and 17 miles, I start feeling endurance. And by about 17 miles, I feel, oh, I just got to keep on. I got to build up that endurance. By 20 miles, character is the issue. It's like, I'm completely tired out. I don't want to take another step. And I've hit the wall, the 20-mile barrier. I have no energy left. So at this point, I have to just try to keep going. And so I think of this series that Paul lays out. Suffering leads to endurance. So obstacles provide suffering, leads to endurance, leads to character. And if you build up your character, then you have hope, because then the finish line isn't too far away. Well, there's a connection to Proverbs. Remember, Rich has been talking about Proverbs and teaching about Proverbs all summer long. So the connection is provided by Craig Keener. In his commentary, he says, hardships proved the quality of the wise person who knew better than to be moved by them. The truly wise person should be tranquil in hardships. And as you know, Rich talked about things like the fool who does not He was not willing to listen, or the sluggard who is not willing to put forth the effort. Well, the wise person is listening, and the wise person is putting forth the effort, and the wise person is building character. Romans 5:5, that towards the end, God, so how do we keep going? Well, we rely on God and the Holy Spirit to be filled with that power. Towards the end of the passage, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. It reminds me of a theological term called compatibilism, which makes absolutely no sense to the human brain, and it goes something like this: human freedom operating along with divine control at the same time. So God's in control, God's sovereign, and at the same time, we have free will. Okay, so if God's in control of everything, okay, I get that. I can be a nice, good Calvinist there. Well, but then again, we've got human free will. I'm making decisions. I decided what I was going to have for breakfast this morning, and that's a dose of Arminianism. And all of a sudden, we've got both going on at the same time. Now think about that. It doesn't make any sense. How can God be completely in control and I have complete free will at the same time? It makes no sense. Ends up being like many of the things in theology. You take your brain as far as you can and then you throw up your hand and say, it's a mystery. I don't know. I'm just going to trust God that it all works out. This has happened to all of you, though. You've had one of those days when you're praying and you're thinking about God and you're just getting close, and you just know what you're supposed to do. It's almost as if you know what's going to happen next, because you're just walking close to God, and He's in charge, and you're making decisions, and you're like, I don't know how this is working, but it's working. And for me, it doesn't happen every day, but every now and then, when I get into that zone, that spiritual zone, it's like, this is really cool. God's in control, and I'm making decisions at the same time. And so sometimes you just kind of go along with the flow, right? And no matter where that water is coming from. Okay, so I'm going to race through some practical applications now. Practical applications regarding perseverance. It's never only just about what you think it's about. When things are going bad, just keep reminding yourself, it's never only just about what you think it's about. You are only one small part of God's bigger plan. It's up to Him to make things work. And He says He will. Next, make sure you are pointed in the right direction. When I run a marathon, that's the first thing I ask. Which way am I supposed to go? Got to be pointed in the right direction towards God. Travel lightly. Get rid of the monkey on your back. I was in a training session once in management, and they said, don't let the monkey on your back, get it off your back. Don't let those worries weigh you down. So again, like in running a marathon, I want to make sure I'm not carrying a bunch of stuff that I don't need. What needless worry is on your back? What are you carrying around? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to trust God and just say, take it. Take it off my back. I don't need this. It's not good for me. Next up, for perseverance, take the first step, even if you don't feel like it. That is the step of faith. When you wake up in the morning, if you have a gym membership, you're not going to feel like going to the gym. You're not going to feel like going to the gym until after you get to the gym. And then after you start working out, you'll start feeling like going to the gym. When I run, that first quarter mile is awful. It's terrible. And then it gets better after that. Oh, next lesson. Take the second step, even if you don't feel like it. It looks a lot like the last one. Even if you don't feel like it, go ahead and do it anyway. Repetition builds routine. Next thing to keep in mind, there are people cheering you on. There's a whole group of witnesses that are watching you and cheering you on and exhorting each other. All this stuff is wrapped up in Hebrews 12, 1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here's a few more additional applications. Sometimes you need to sleep on the cliff. I saw this. I'm like, these guys are crazy. They're mountain climbers, and they sleep, they get tired by the end of the day. If they're on a cliff, that takes more than one day. They somehow attach themselves to the cliff, and they have like a hammock, and they're sleeping on the side of the cliff. And this is what I have to keep telling myself to do. When things get really bad, I just want to quit. I want to go home. I want to go somewhere other than where I'm at. And I have to tell myself, sleep on the cliff. Just hunker down. Don't go back to the beginning. Get some rest. Get some food. Take it easy. And tomorrow, you got more climbing to do. But I haven't lost what I have made so far today. So sometimes you need to sleep on the cliff. Don't go back to the beginning. Hunker down where you are. Sometimes God takes you out of the situation completely. Hey, that's great. I don't have to deal with this. But usually, God teaches you how to overcome the situation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Next up, sometimes it's just not meant to be. Even though we try and we strive, we have to keep in mind, well, sometimes God has other plans, that our goal, our victory that we're trying to get, isn't going to happen. And it provides humility for us. We don't know why we fail despite our best efforts at times. God does. No from God is still an answer. If we pray, God, please help me survive. Please help me win. And I lose. Well, that's an answer from God. Well, no, you're not going to win this time. You're going to survive, but you're not going to win. Keep in mind, sometimes it is meant to be. In running, we run, and every now and then I hit the runner's high, and it feels great. The problem is, it only comes every now and then. Frustratingly, it comes enough to keep me running, but not so often that I get it every day. Maybe once every, I don't know, 20 days, I'll hit my runner's stride, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And Terry will ask me, how'd your run go today? And I'll say, it was great today. And then she'll put up with 19 days of, oh boy, it was really a bad run. But sometimes it is meant to be. Oh, conclusion. Okay, so I got to fill in for Rich for the last 2 weeks. I'm putting together all this material. So after 2 weeks, it all comes down to this combination of trust and perseverance. We are able to persevere when we trust that God has our backs. You're probably thinking, that's it? 2 weeks worth of stuff? Well, there it is, right there. We are able to persevere when we trust that God has our back. Final little passage, Isaiah 40:31. If you cheer on the marathoners at the Lakefront Marathon, a lot of people will have this on their shirts. Now they sell plaques with this saying. So I'm gonna read it and share it with you. Keep this in mind as you go through the week. But those who wait upon, in other words, trust in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And a short prayer. Dear Lord, may we keep our eyes on You in trust. May we persevere when You tell us to keep moving forward. And may we enjoy the filling of Your Spirit to help us keep moving on, even when we can't, where we don't think we can, so that when we are finally able to rest, it just feels so good to be wrapped in Your embrace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.